to the Divided Kingdom. We're coming to you live on Global Star, Tuesday evening, April 16th. This is the evening news program with a cutting edge and Christian emphasis. I'm Lou Caverly.
And I'm Elizabeth Cabot Caverly.
Mr. and Mrs. America bringing you the news every Wednesday and Thursday at WWCR.com, Worldwide Christian Radio. You can hear us Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on shortwave frequency 9.350 megahertz, and on Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on 4.840 megahertz. The Thursday program repeats on a frequency of 7.490 Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. Also at 5 p.m. Saturdays. Also Eastern Time on 9.350. Visit our website, DividedKingdomRadio.com.
And also, we're on KStarTalkRadio.com, aren't we?
That's right.
And on Kingdom. Liberty Work and Kingdom Star.
That's right,
Radio.
Both of those, yes.
And we're on Liberty Works Radio Network, LWRN.net. And you can go to their websites and hear other programs that they have, too.
That's exactly right. You can hear our most crucial April 3rd program on the demise of the Francis Scott Key Bridge if you go to our archives. And once again, that's DividedKingdomRadio.com. And now we go right into tonight's program, March, April, Iniquities Abound, Part 2. We begin by detailing police state preparation plans and even present events of government making war on the people.
And I think a part of our titles is, and bird flu too.
I think you're right. Yes, you're
big
absolutely right, Elizabeth.
Question mark.
Yeah. Yeah, that is a big question.
And we just want to tell you how we love you, listeners. A couple of you have just stepped up to help Lou because, yes, the cost of the new 100 books that arrived will have to be paid. And one or two of you have started to help us. We deeply appreciate this. And, again, we are appreciating that many of you see the value of having an historical record of what really went on during the COVID vaccine a gene shot, Holocaust, all over the world. And you really want our book, our new book, COVID and Coming Chaos. And we just can't emphasize the impact that those color pictures have. You know, Lou, I was looking through it last night, and there was the tombstone at the entrance of the CDC. To you, it looked like a tombstone, didn't it?
It did, and that seemed very appropriate considering COVID and all that was perpetrated on the American people, in fact, the world's population.
That's right. So there are many color plates, a number of them, that you will find very fascinating, and each chapter stands on its own. I think one of the most significant chapters that I wrote was the children's horrors, and chapter one. I think it was very important. Lou's chapter two, about all the clandestine hidden you know, that's a little redundant, but all the experimentation the government has done going way, way back, to maybe even the 50s and 60s, when one of the Pennsylvania congressmen mentioned that they were testing things that might think it might have been nerve gas in the tunnels on the Pennsylvania Turnpike. So, you know, you're going to find a wealth of information, and you don't want to be left behind. We want every listener who reads and understands and wants the truth to have this, because future generations may come upon this book and they may understand things. You have a duty, a responsibility, if you're a reading, thinking person, to have this book. And we're making it available. We are not making money. We could have made thousands of dollars, Lou, if we had charged the $20 or $25 that most books at the Southwest Radio Church Ministry, who printed it for us, charge in their catalog. But we're not doing that. A few of you wonderful listeners, Helen, Robert, those two especially, helped us get the first shipment of books. And so we are giving it to you basically free, but if you can, put a $5 bill or any other donation that you wish, but even just a couple $1 bills, if that's all you have. If you have no money, please, please ask us for the book, because life is not about money. We know that's true. Life is about miracles from God. So if you want a book, just put a little note, please send me your book, and send it to Lou Caverly, Post Office Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. And again, that P.O. Box is 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. And again, if you can help us, the next bigger bill that we will need will be for Global Star Communications. So if you want to write a check or a money order to Global Star Communications and send it to Lou Caverly, P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. Now, let's get right back to what we are talking about, these iniquities that abound.
Well, we'll begin with WorldNet Daily that had this headline on April the 6th. World population predicted to fall for the first time since the Black Death.
And Lou, just relax. And how can you relax when you hear something like that? You hear me often saying, "Now, Lou, relax."
Yeah,
and you know, but it isn't a very relaxing figure for you as a mathematician, is it?
No, it's not. That's true.
Repeat that.
World population predicted to fall for the first time since the Black Death. Again, from WorldNet Daily by Cassie Theano Chesser of Live Action News, and published with their cooperation. A new study published in the Lancet Medical Journal has predicted that the world's population will fall for the first time in centuries, proving yet again that overpopulation fears are not founded in reality. Population decline, meanwhile, continues to be a major concern across the globe. According to the study, by 2050, three-quarters of countries across the world will be below replacement rate, meaning they cannot sustain their population size. By 2100, that is estimated to increase to 97%. This means the population could begin falling within just decades, the first time it will have done so since the Black Death, an epidemic of bubonic plague in the 1300s. Professor Stein Emil Volzit said, quote, "As most of the world contends with the serious challenges to the economic growth of a shrinking workforce and how to care for and pay for aging populations, many of the most resource-limited countries in sub-Saharan Africa will be grappling with how to support the youngest, fastest-growing population on the planet in some of the most politically and economically unstable, heat-stressed, and health system strained places on Earth," unquote. Much of the now discredited fear of overpopulation can be traced to Paul Ehrlich's book, The Population Bomb. Though overpopulation is a myth, Ehrlich continues to be featured as an expert on the issue, still claiming overpopulation is a threat, even as global fertility rates fall. Many of these fears are born out of nothing more than racism, in an attempt to keep poor and non-white countries from reproducing, quote, too much, unquote. Population control continues to be pushed onto these countries by wealthy white Westerners hoping to curb the births of children in Black, Hispanic, and Asian countries.
And Lou, we interject again that some of the biggest abortion centers are in the Black neighborhoods. In Houston, Texas, the biggest one, I think, in America, it's in the Black neighborhood. So we know there is a Black genocide going on in our country.
Yes, and this is Lou again. Our book, COVID and Coming Chaos, documents a leading North American casket maker's huge increase in child-sized caskets after Operation Warp Speed began.
And again, if you would like our book, we hope that you will not be left behind. When the books are gone, they will be gone. Drop a note to Lou Caverly, P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. Just say, please send me the book. All right, Lou, go ahead.
We're asking, and some of our listeners too, whether some of the latest signs on Earth and above the Earth in God's heavens are indicating coming judgment on the Earth, particularly on America. One alert Northeastern contact sent us this New York Post Metro edition, April 6th. And by golly, right there on the front page is the headline, "Tri-State All Shook Up by Biggest Quake in 140 Years. And in big letters, "The Earth Moved for Us." And I
now, we have to interrupt again,
yes,
Lou.
Yeah.
The earth moved for us. That's almost an echo of that hubris that we're always talking about that American political figures have. The Build Back Better, the idea right after 9/11 when Tom Daschle and John Edwards quoted this, the bricks are fallen and they're going to build back, just like in Isaiah 9, 10, 11. So there's a hint of that in this headline, although the earth didn't move for us. It moved for God.
Yes, that's exactly right.
And what else is in that article?
Well, to the left is the bullseye, 4.8. That was the Richter scale reading, right at Lebanon, New Jersey. Underneath is the Statue of Liberty. She's crying out in alarm as her spiked corona slips down over the side of her face. And again, this is Lou speaking. What might this mean to God? Are there any additional clues that God may not be happy with Governor Hochul lighting up New York City landmarks in pink and other rainbow colors for, quote, the day of visibility? This question is something we are asking, and we're going to try to be answering by telling you about lightning strikes. First, we have the actual headline. 4.8 magnitude tri-state rattle.
And is this the New York Post?
Yes. Now, this is the New York Post. Again, the date is Saturday, April 6th. And it was by Craig McCarthy, Vaughn Golden, and Emily Crane. A rare earthquake rocked the New York City area Friday morning, swaying buildings and sending terrified residents into the streets. The strongest trembler, shouldn't it? Well, I'm not
sure.
Sounds
like it to me.
Yep.
How do they spell it?
They spell it T-E-M-B-L-O-R.
Hmm.
Well, we'll have to check on
that. We'll check on that one.
At any rate, the strongest one of those to strike near the Big Apple in 140 years. The 4.8 magnitude quake was followed by more than 10 aftershocks near its epicenter in Lebanon, New Jersey, including a significant 4.0 tremor hours later about 50 miles away. And here we have a quote. I was doing my morning reporting, and this safe in my office that's a ton starts shaking. The whole room is shaking, said Monique Horton, who works at the Balmain store on Madison Avenue in Manhattan. And she continued, I was just freaked out. Scary, really scary. I'm a New Yorker my whole life, 36 years. Never seen anything like it, unquote. The earthquake struck near Lebanon around 10:23 a.m., and was potentially felt by more than 42 million people, according to the U.S. Geological Survey. At the UN in Midtown Manhattan, a Security Council address on the Israel-Gaza conflict was interrupted as cameras began shuddering. The quake wreaked havoc on travelers, both in cars and in the air, with the Holland Tunnel from Manhattan to New Jersey temporarily shut so authorities could check stability issues, and planes rerouted or delayed at local airports for a while because of the emergency. Tremors could be felt as far north as Boston and as far south as Delaware. The USGS logged 160,000 reports on its website from panicked residents in the quake's aftermath, a potential new record, officials said. Governor Hochul said, this is one of the largest earthquakes on the East Coast in the last century. The last time an earthquake with a magnitude close to 5 struck near New York City was back in 1884, the United States Geological Survey said. That quake appeared to have been centered in Brooklyn. Friday's trembler, well, maybe that is the correct one, because that's the way they're spelling it again. Friday's trembler was the strongest to hit New Jersey in 240 years, according to the, I believe that's the fog forecast center. And we have a little mini headline here, absolutely terrifying, in the epicenter. The epicenter of Friday's metro area quake was around the sleepy, tiny, agricultural town of Lebanon, New Jersey, where the trembler sent residents running home from work to check their houses and loved ones. The morning quake caused buildings to shake everywhere from the Big Apple to Pennsylvania, Connecticut, and Delaware. And here we have a quote. I was working from my home office in town and everything started falling off the shelves. Lebanon Mayor James Pittenger told the Post, I felt a shake like I've never felt in the 30 years I've lived here. It was one of the craziest things I've ever experienced. Nancy Davidson, 62, said, It was like an explosion. I thought Exxon blew up, she told the Post. The building shook, and that was terrifying. Absolutely terrifying. And next, we have... Also terrifying is one of those Northeast contacts. Info that Governor Kathy Hochul just created a brand new office called Office of Climate Innovation and Resilience.
And Lou, I had quickly jotted that down, that extra statement, and I couldn't see so well. My eyes were blurring up. My blood sugar was sort of out of control. And as I wrote it, I couldn't even read the word. So you and I kept puzzling over this word.
That's right.
The R looked like a D. I said, maybe it's development. And we kept looking and looking. And I think then you went on the smartphone and you really couldn't find the name. And all of a sudden, you had a flash. Resilience! And then I remembered, why, yes, that's the word I wrote down. And now, this is really an ominous word. This is one of those Orwellian words. You remember, safety means danger. The opposite. Evil means good. Good means evil. So resilience. You know, you think about if you fall down, a little child learning to walk, it keeps trying to do it again. And it gets up. It goes back into action. That's resilience. But you see, there has to be a big foe after someone to keep knocking them down for there to be a resilience. Isn't that right?
That's exactly right.
So
yes.
Now, this is the Illuminati flashing their morality code at us. They're going to keep the land grabs up, and people will have to be resilient. They're going to be moved into those senior centers, like one of our other contacts from up in the Northeast had her land and her home grabbed about 2 years ago, and now she's put in this senior center with all the surveillance. What's the name of that new office again?
This is the Office of Climate Innovation, which itself I think is a little bit of a scary word.
Oh, yes.
And resilience.
Okay.
And so that nomenclature could possibly relate to the coming land grabs, as Elizabeth just said. Also liquidating food, animals, and bringing on starvation for the masses. Now we get to the Statue of Liberty. What was happening to it?
These are all signs that we think add up.
Yes.
You know, more, all these additional things add up to more than just one picture, one single picture. The eclipse was important, but there are other things, too. This hasn't stopped, this kind of an indicator that's moving the hands closer to midnight.
Just right. Yes. Now, the next item is from the Gateway Pundit. And the date was also April 6th. Statue of Liberty gets struck by lightning during a wild New York storm. This was by Anthony Scott. On Thursday, a lightning bolt struck the Statue of Liberty's torch during a storm, a severe storm, in New York. Photographer Dan Martland captured the moment when the lightning bolt hit the Statue of Liberty and posted the photo of the moment on X. Martland wrote, quote, The Statue of Liberty getting zapped by a bolt of lightning, unquote. And he added, I usually shoot the city in storms, but I couldn't see anything with all the low clouds. This is why I went close to the Statue of Liberty, just wanted to see something, said Martland. And this is Lou speaking now. In our book, COVID and Coming Chaos, in Chapter 1, Elizabeth tells about the late Pastor Carl Sanders. And he was talking on our radio, to our radio audience, about the time the ELCA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America, was meeting in a Midwestern city, and it was voting on whether to ordain homosexual clergy. After they voted yes to do so, a tornado that was heading through the town turned around, came back, and lightning struck the church. And now,
coincidence, or are these patterns of coming judgment? Go ahead, Lou. What's next on this list of impending signs and wonders?
Well, now, and we were just going to comment, too, Governor Kathy Hochul gave all those pretty things about the Day of Visibility, and maybe this had something to do with it.
And lit up those landmarks. She said she would light them up.
That's right.
In the rainbow colors. And you and I on an earlier program mentioned that it was like Cuomo lighting up the Empire State Building when the killing the live babies who survived the abortions was legalized.
Yes, that's exactly right.
So God is not blind.
He is certainly not
blind.
And
God is in supreme control over the weather modification people. God
exactly.
cannot be messed with forever, either. Those chemtrailers are not going to come to a good end. Perhaps one
so
day
true.
They will inhale some of those toxic poisons, the barium, the aluminum, the nerve gas, whatever else is in there, the mycoplasmic fungi spores. A lot of things are being put down on the people. And we do recall that we had articles back in the Bush years, Lou, that when we were over there in that unreasonable, unjustified war, and was that also to get rid of a lot of the population of the people in Iraq? We wonder. But we probably were involved there because there were chemtrails all over Iraq early on, and we think that was to weaken the people. So we're getting reports all over the country, listeners, from a variety of states that you're under onslaught. Every 2 or 3 days, there's a period of about 2 or 3 days when it's dark, it's dim. It might begin sunny, but it doesn't stay sunny. So we need to pray for God to foil this because we do need our food supply, and the people are not having good effects by having these toxic things down on them, coming down on them every day. I had to get on my soapbox for this. We need to pray against these things, definitely. So getting back to this now, we're looking at these signs of judgment, Lou.
Here's another one. And the title was The Destruction of the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore, Some Sort of a Warning for America. This was by Michael Snyder. It appeared in his website, michaelsnyder.substack.com, March 27th of this year. And Michael asked an important question about a possible symbol of the end of America. Here are his words. Less than 2 weeks before the most ominous sign in the entire history of the United States appears above our heads, a bridge named after the author of the text of the U.S. National Anthem has collapsed after a key support structure was rammed by a massive cargo vessel. The Star-Spangled Banner is the best-known national anthem on the entire planet, and it is one of our most cherished national symbols. Some have suggested that the collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore symbolizes the collapse of America itself. If this is true, could it be possible that the destruction of this bridge was some sort of a warning for America? And this is Lou speaking now. We have some other things to talk about. Speaking of bridges, we have the Golden Gate Bridge was blocked, but not by boats, but by people yesterday. People protesting against Israel. They don't seem to have doesn't seem to have bothered them at all that people in Israel were slaughtered a few months back by Hamas. They just seem to want to just make all kinds of protests against Israel, no matter what.
And we've got to point out to our listeners that some who might be thinking, well, that's not going to affect us, when they were crying out there at the bridge, you told me, Lou, they were crying out death to Israel, but they were also crying out what?
Well, in one of the bridges, and I'm not sure whether it was that one or in Brooklyn, they were crying out death to America.
Now, that makes you sit up and take notice, listeners.
It sure does.
Go ahead, Lou. What else?
Well, those are the key things for that, and now we move on to China warns citizens inside the U.S. prepare for various unexpected situations.
Now, this is another aspect of judgment, the invader scenario. The ancient Israelites, when they got to be sinful enough, throwing their babies into the fire of Moloch, then God allowed the Assyrians to come in, the Babylonians, didn't he?
He sure did.
Okay, so here's China on the fringes. It's sort of hanging loose there. What about this article? Let's hear all of it.
And this was from Hal Turner Radio Show.com and appeared on April, I think, the 1st. That's a little smudged, but I think it's April 1st. A strange warning has been issued by China to any of its citizens located in the United States. Quote, take safety precautions and be prepared for various unexpected situations, unquote. According to the China Ministry of Foreign Affairs, several Chinese students and company employees have recently been subjected to, quote, unwarranted interrogations and harassment, unquote, by U.S. airport law enforcement officers, the Ministry of Foreign Affairs said on its WeChat account on Friday. Their phones, computers, and other luggage items were searched piece by piece, and several people were banned from entering the country, it said. So that's a little bit of that. And now we go to a letter from one of our faithful listeners named Fred. And
you know, while you're getting that, we're thinking about over the long term, this scenario of people seeing ahead that America would fall. And we've talked about our hairdresser years and years ago. She told us one time she had visions, and one of her visions showed the eagle falling. And the people were going to have to run north because there was a tsunami. So those are just interesting things. We don't know whether God allowed her to have a vision of the true things coming. But the eagle falling, you see, that was definitely America falling. So we also had from this same listener, Fred, during the eclipse, that slash mark over the eclipse, wasn't it? That indicated.
Yes, that's right.
It indicated he thought a change coming to America. See, that change could be martial law. That change could be the result later of all the template of all those various states like Arkansas and I think Ohio. Can you remember some more who were having those martial law drills, Lou?
Well, I wasn't paying attention. I do know Niagara Falls.
Yes, Niagara Falls was one. And the governor in the one, I think it was Arkansas, said they were working on health, which is interesting. And that previews what we're going to talk about. Is the bird flu really hype, or is there something possibly ominous coming? Nobody is too sure about that. But now, Fred has some interesting thoughts that correlate right with this. Are we looking at the fall of America?
That's right. And here are his words. You forgot to mention the biblical value of April 8th, 4-Earth. Oh, excuse me, 4 equals Earth, and 8 equals some kind of a new beginning. Here are some new things for you to ponder. On TV, they had nonstop eclipse coverage. Little kids were looking heavenward, not thinking of God, of course, but of how our Earth Mother has such a nice display for all of us. They were jumping and enjoying and having fun. But as I sat here today, I considered the word eclipse. No, not the shadow, the line on X across the USA. By the way, I didn't know of the X nor the biblical 7, that is the 7 biblically named Nineveh cities in the shadow's path. And we mentioned that Nineveh being, of course, the ancient capital of Assyria.
One of the invaders.
That's right. Now, let's see, but on continuing with Fred's letter, but on TV, it wasn't just the eclipse, or total eclipse. No, each time they mentioned it, it was America's total eclipse. So my wife looked up the second and third meanings of that word. The word eclipse means falling into obscurity or decline, to reduce in importance or repute. Not only that, but April 7th, it has been 6 months since Ezekiel 38 war against God's nation, Israel, started. There's more. On TV, they advertised a new film. I think the name of it is Civil War. And this is Lou speaking. I think Fred is right about that. And back to Fred's letter, it deals with a second American Civil War in the present or near future. Like that mini-series I told you about, could this be some more in-advance games the Illuminati is playing on us.
And we have to interrupt Fred's letter to say again that we hope and pray that such a civil war will be foiled, because this would play right into the hands of the globalists to have the civil war fomented and then bring in the UN troops and bring in all the Chinese invading. And possibly Russia would be involved in this, and it would be Dmitry Dudeman's prophetic nightmare come true that when an action would start against the government, you know, a civil war, then Cuba, Nicaragua, all of the others would come. All of these people who are hidden, possibly, like the Spetsnaz of the Russians, and some of these sightings of some of the Chinese military men in some other places near borders. So we're just asking you to pray hard that God will foil things. We have some listeners who don't want us to do this. They just want Jesus to come. God didn't say to do that, to sit on our hands. He said to stand in the gap and to oppose evil. It's always to oppose evil. When he sent the archangel to Gabriel, I think, and Michael. Which one? To Hawk. Which one? You've told me what you remember.
I believe that it was Michael, but I'm not
Michael,
positive.
He said he wanted Hawk to cast blows against the enemies of God. And you see, that is direct action. So we must take direct action. But we want to get right back now. So Fred is commenting that there could be a civil war. This movie seems to project. And then I think he'll go on to talk about another older TV or movie that figures.
Yes, I think he wraps
go
up
on,
with a show that I used to watch. He says, do you remember the TV show Get Smart, starring Maxwell Smart? The two opposing forces were called Chaos, those are the baddies, and Control, the good guys. And let me see, I think that's everything. But yes, I used to watch that show. Then Fred just says, in Christ, Fred. So I believe that completes that. And now, I think we have one more thing before Elizabeth takes over for a little bit. Amy Schumer says she developed VADs after the third booster. And this is Lou. What seems to have been happened during the horrendous COVID vax holocaust from 2021 till now appears to be both sides, chaos and control, merging. Here is one well known tragic victim.
And yes, you see, we're still talking about the TV series.
Yes.
In which there were those two factions, the chaos and control. But as Lou has just mentioned there, in our book we talk about a lot of control. And there is a lot of chaos, too, even within those years. It's not total chaos yet. But if they have their way, Albert Pike and Giuseppe Mazzini in their letter writing in 1871 wanted the Muslim world and the what they call the Zionist world, then that would be Israel versus Iran, et cetera, to fight to the state of total exhaustion. And at the same time, then you see, then Christianity will be attacked too, I'm sure, in that. And then in the midst of all that chaos, they would unleash complete, absolute, horrendous horror. And you see, then we have the starvation. The Hunger Games, that was another predictor, a TV program some time back. So the Illuminati has been flashing their code. So now, one of these poor victims, Amy Schumer, and she was not a favorite of mine. I didn't even really see her as a comic. I didn't watch her as a comedian on TV, but I read a lot of vulgar things that she said. But then, you see, when we're young, we're not very formed. And later, I think she married and had a child and was a devoted mother. And this is really tragic, Lou. Let's hear what you have about her.
Yes, and this, by the way, was from the People's Voice on February 16th of this year. Amy Schumer has revealed that she developed full-blown vaccine-acquired immune deficiency syndrome, or VADs, as a direct result of getting multiple COVID jabs. And this is Lou speaking. On the picture of Amy, posted at the People's Voice, there is certainly no smile on her face as she's in the hospital, in her hospital gown and bed. Brother Bruce, urges us to pray for Amy.
Brother Bruce of American Prophecy, who gave us that great article.
And it says, oh, we're saying, is this nightmare over, or is there more hell on earth awaiting us?
Well, then, Lou, another celebrity, April 11th at the People's Voice, Baxter Dimitri, fully vaccinated O.J. Simpson dies after a sudden bout of cancer. Former Hollywood and football star O.J. Simpson, who encouraged his followers to get the COVID mRNA vaccine on social media, has died of cancer at the age of 76. And you note, listeners, I'm interjecting here, the headline said that he died after a sudden bout of cancer. And Lou, we've heard this term, haven't we? Turbo cancer.
Yes, signifying quick, striking quickly, coming on suddenly.
Yeah, and unexpectedly.
Yes.
And, of course, it's not being blamed in the major media on the COVID vaccine gene shots, but we know better.
Yeah, we've heard some ridiculous things like, I think one theory was the young people are aging too quickly or some such farcical thing as that.
Oh, gosh, I hadn't heard that one. Isn't that something?
I'll have to check on that.
The People's Voice says Simpson was an enthusiastic promoter of the experimental COVID mRNA vaccine during the pandemic, regularly posting on social media, encouraging his followers to get vaccinated. Get your shot. I got mine, OJ posted in January 2021, over a photograph of himself wearing a face mask with the words, "the juice," while getting vaccinated. According to Simpson, quote, being vaccinated is like wearing a seatbelt. It doesn't mean you won't get in an accident, but if you do, you have a much better chance of surviving. Hey, get your shots. Famously, the former NFL running back was accused and charged with the murders of his wife, Nicole Brown Simpson, and her friend, Ron Goldman, back in June of 1994. And this is Elizabeth interjecting. That was one of the lower points of my life. 18 months sitting in one chair, the only chair in our home I could sit in, crippled and in agonizing pain from swollen knees, from the Lyme disease, pulling my back and going into back spasms and many other things that were just terrible. And I was trying to keep my sanity by watching a black and white television set that Lou had specially bought because of my lupus. The old TV sets were much more harmful with the type of radiation on lupus patients than the flat screens. And so I was watching OJ and the chase in the Bronco, and then later the trial. I was trying to hold on to my sanity. So this always has a very personal relevance to me, anything dating back to that time. And, you know, we think about man proposes, but God disposes. So at that time, it did look like O.J. was in a lot of trouble, but he could get a lot of high-paying, highly paid lawyers to help him. And it looked like me, Elizabeth Cubitt Caverly, a nobody, just sitting a cripple from Lyme disease in a chair, would never do anything again in life. And I remember one time Lou came back and he said, I've just had a flash from God. You're going to get well. Well, all these years later, I am well. And I'm on the radio talking about O.J. Simpson and his life. Where do you think you will spend eternity if you're one of those people who are spraying on us night and day? If you're one of those people in the WEF, perhaps you had a horrendous childhood. You're not alone. Many people have been abused emotionally and physically, but they don't all turn out to want to depopulate the planet. You need to repent. You need to admit this is sinful, this is evil, and you don't feel happy doing it anymore. The ones who are listening to us constantly on our phone, watching us on our smartphone, the ones who are flying overhead, most of them, I think, are the enemy, the black helicopters, the surveillance. You need to think about where you're going to go. You know, Lou and I have repented. We have accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, and we know that in every aspect of our lives, even satanic attacks, of course there was one today, but God helps us. Jesus teaches us how to battle these things, and once you've given your life to Jesus and you've repented and He becomes your Savior, you will have peace of mind like you never had before. Isn't that true, Lou?
That's absolutely right. Each of us is a sinner in the eyes of God. You can't compare yourself to other people. You have to compare yourself to God. Are you good enough in comparison to God? And of course you're not. Read the Sermon on the Mount. Read Matthew 5, 6, and 7 if you think you're that great. And you'll quickly see, no, I don't measure up. You need
and
a Savior.
Life is short, isn't it?
It surely is.
Where do we go? I mean, everyone will have to face this. Henry Kissinger had to face this.
That's right. And if you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're all set.
Yes, you will live. You will live forever with Jesus. And I'm sure that the beauties of heaven cannot be comprehended by our mortal minds. We've had little clues, supposedly, what heaven will be like, but no man knows for certain until he takes his last breath. So these things are very important that we're going over, not just the news. That's not why we're here. We believe God called us to be watchpersons, to warn you, because maybe we are on the edge of the Great Tribulation, and maybe we're not, with enough repentance. So back to this article, talking about O.J., he was later acquitted in the trial of the century. But the families of Goldman and Brown Simpson filed a civil lawsuit in which he was found liable for the wrongful death and battery against both individuals and was ordered to pay $33.5 million in damages. Simpson eventually went to prison for a robbery in Los Angeles after he was found guilty of leading a group into a room at the Palace Station Hotel Casino and taking sports memorabilia at gunpoint.
Now we have the WHO working with Bill Gates and China to unleash Disease X. This is from newsaddicts.com by Hunter Fielding, February 17, 2024. The World Health Organization, WHO, has been secretly working with Bill Gates and the Chinese Communist Party to unleash Disease X in the Western world as soon as global leaders signed the United Nations Health Agency's Pandemic Treaty. The news was revealed by top scientist Sir Anthony Epstein, who blew the whistle shortly before he died at the age of 102 last week. And then I believe I go on. We have, this could be 100 times worse than COVID. Bird flu warning from scientists who say half of infections with H5N1 in people are fatal.
And we do have to interrupt because I thought there might be more in that article about this treaty, but we have to be watching this very carefully. I don't know if we'll get to it tonight or not, but the brave citizens in Japan have been really out there resisting. They do not want Japan to go into this WHO Global Pandemic Treaty, and Biden's amendments are part of that. And if it would be instituted in this country, we will lose all health freedom, and they could come to your door and forcibly inject you with a vaccine. So this is very important that we continue to surveil this possibility of this treaty, and we're very proud of those citizens in Japan who are resisting it. So now we're getting to the bird flu. There'll be a lot more tomorrow night. You don't want to miss hearing both nights in our radio work now that we're on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, as Lou said, 9.350 megahertz on the shortwave, and then on Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on 4.840 megahertz, because we're going to carry over. There's a lot of important information we'll be doing about all of this. But now let's get back to what you were just starting to tell about what we do know about the bird flu.
Yes, I'll read this headline again. This appeared in the Daily Mail, April 4th, and it was by Luke Andrews. And the headline read, this could be 100 times worse than COVID. Bird flu, warning from scientists who say half of infections with H1 make that H5N1 in people a fatal. As White House says it's monitoring the situation. And this is Lou. Is this just hype? Dr. Jane Ruby, April 5th, questioned whether these statistics have been twisted. She said that over a period of 10 years worldwide, about 800 people got avian flu. And supposedly, about half of them, I believe it was about 450, or about 56%, died. But you see, that's not a lot of people, 800 out of all the billions of people in the world. But we know how COVID death statistics sometimes included people who died, really, of other causes. So, it's time to be on the alert for this. Then we have, from Reuters, U.S. CDC says bird flu risk low, but asks states to be ready with rapid testing. But guess what the test is? Dr. Jane Ruby informed her listeners April 5th that, yes, the same old PCR test used for COVID will be used to diagnose the avian flu. And, of course, this is the test that even the CDC itself finally admitted was not valid.
And, Lou, it may be that the risk of H5N1 killing people worldwide is slight, but we do have to also recall the evil magic elixir the gain of function can perform on making a toxic agent more deadly. Even, pardon me, at the time, 2004, of the publication of my book, Patriots Warning 2, Chaos and Chemtrails, we had to wonder why NIH-affiliated persons, researchers, led by Dr. Jeffrey Taubenberger, were going up way north to the frozen tundra to dig up bodies who had died during the 1918 bird flu epidemic. We have to wonder, there's always this covert deep state activity going on. So here we have April 8, 2024, at the conversation, a person in Texas caught bird flu after mixing with dairy cattle. Should we be worried? And there were several authors who wrote this here. The United States Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has issued a health alert after the first case of H5N1 avian influenza or bird flu seemingly spread from a cow to a human. A farm worker in Texas contracted the virus amid an outbreak in dairy cattle. This is the second human case in the U.S. A poultry worker tested positive in Colorado in 2022. The virus strain identified in the Texan farm worker is not readily transmissible between humans and therefore not a pandemic threat, but it's a significant development nonetheless. Some background on bird flu. There are two types of avian influenza, highly pathogenic or low pathogenic, based on the level of disease the strain causes in birds. H5N1 is a highly pathogenic avian influenza. H5N1 first emerged in 1997 in Hong Kong and in China in 2003, spreading through wild bird migration and poultry trading. It has caused periodic epidemics in poultry farms with occasional human cases. Influenza A viruses such as H5N1 are further divided into variants called clades. The unique variant causing the current epidemic is H5N1 clade 2344B, which emerged in late 2020 and is now widespread globally, especially in the Americas.
Wild animals are now in the mix. Waterfowl, ducks, swans, and geese are the main global spreaders of avian flu as they migrate across the world via specific routes that bypass Australia. The main hub for waterfowl to migrate around the world is Qinghai Lake in China. But there's been an increasing number of infected non-waterfowl birds, such as true thrushes and raptors, which use different flyways. Worryingly, the infection has now spread to Antarctica, too, which means Australia is now at risk from different bird species which fly here. H5N1 has escalated in an unprecedented fashion since 2021. and an increasing number of mammals, including sea lions, goats, red foxes, coyotes, even domestic dogs and cats, have become infected around the world. Wild animals like red foxes, which live in peri-urban areas, are a possible new route of spread to farms, domestic pets, and humans. Dairy cows and goats have now become infected with H5N1 in at least 17 farms across 7 U.S. states. What are the symptoms? Globally, there have been 14 cases of H5N1 clade 2.3.4.4b virus in humans, and 889 H5N1 human cases overall since 2003. Previous human cases have presented with a severe respiratory illness, but H5N1 2.3.4.4b is causing illness affecting other organs as well, like the brain, eyes, and the liver. For example, more recent cases have developed neurological complications, including seizures, organ failure, and stroke. It's been estimated that around half of people infected with H5N1 will die. The case in the Texas farm worker appears to be mild. This person presented with conjunctivitis, which is unusual. Food safety. Contact with sick poultry is a key risk factor for human infection. Likewise, the farm worker in Texas was likely in close contact with the infected cattle. The CDC advises pasteurized milk and well-cooked eggs are safe. However, handling of infected meat or eggs in the process of cooking while drinking unpasteurized milk may pose a risk. Although there's no H5N1 in Australian poultry or cattle, hygienic food practices are always a good idea, as raw milk or poorly cooked meat, eggs, or poultry can be contaminated with microbes such as salmonella and E. coli.
I think that's enough for that article. Getting the idea there. Zero Hedge had a paid, sponsored article by the Wellness Company, which offers products like ivermectin, et cetera. And, of course, this article talked about the Daily Mail giving the info that the bird flu had spread to cows. And they then had the message from the White House that it was on red alert for bird flu after this happened. And Dr. Kelly Victory, who is part of this wellness group, said bird flu is a red flag. They run up the flagpole every 12 to 18 months. At present, this appears to be like previous recent outbreaks, quote, outbreaks, that affect primarily poultry workers with little evidence that there is appreciable human-to-human transmission. That being said, this is a good reminder that we always need to be prepared and to foster self-reliance for times of emergency. And again, we point out to you that we have not heard that the gain of function has stopped, and that's an important part of it. And I think maybe in your next article, is somebody commenting there about the gain of function? Do you see something like that?
Well, let me see. They may well be. I don't see too quickly.
What's your headline there quickly?
Largest producer of fresh eggs in U.S. halts production.
Yes. Now, look back at the last part of that article. I think there's possibly someone who is talking there about the possibility if they revved it up with the gain of function. Do you see any kind of statement there?
Not at a quick glance.
And perhaps it was, I glossed over mine too. Let me look just one more second here.
Yes.
Yes, I think so. This would be Dr. Peter McCullough, and he is the controversial figure now, according to Dr. Ruby. Some of these people in the frontline doctors, perhaps some of them have sold out. But he does say this, and I think this is probably the last word we'll have on it till we hear more. He says, fear-mongering, food supply threat, virus with a deadly past, BARDA, self-amplifying mRNA vaccines, a perfect storm is brewing. Bill Gates and the World Economic Forum, WEF, believe we should reduce our reliance on animal food products as part of their globalist views. Thus, a food scare in westernized countries with market recalls and destruction of poultry and meat would further dystopian goals for the Davos Club. H5N1 has a historical fatality rate of 52.16% in humans, and fear alone could drive considerable anxiety in large populations, not only about exposure through food, but pets and other humans. It's difficult to determine if H5N1 is the next disease X at the moment. It's possible, due to the abundance of GOF, and we know what that is, gain-of-function research, and biotech interests, ready-made vaccines, and powerful drivers of mass panic in the wings. It's important to hear those three things again. McCullough is admitting that there may be a secretive aspect to what's really going to go into this epidemic, the so-called plandemic. He says the abundance of gain-of-function research and biotech interests, ready-made vaccines, and powerful drivers of mass panic in the wings. If more cases occur in clusters or bona fide outbreaks with human-to-human transmission, we could be well on our way to a 2024 avian influenza pandemic crisis. And we emphasize here, it could be fake or it could be real. And I think we had the Washington Post asking how prepared the U.S. is for a bird flu pandemic, and that was Rachel Rubin and Lena Sun, April 2nd. And, of course, they were telling that the federal officials were preparing for all this testing components to create a vaccine after this Texas dairy worker was infected. Now, this is the part that I don't like to hear, Lou. Two candidate vaccine viruses, essentially the building blocks manufacturers use to produce a vaccine, appear well matched to protect against the H5N1 strain circulating among dairy cattle and birds, according to federal health officials. It'd probably be weeks to months before those shots could first be made available if needed. There we go. The emergency use vaccines that were never sent through the proper trials. So they're ready and waiting. The only question is this it? We don't know, but we have tried to give you some advance warning, and we'll just have to watch this situation. And you do want to tune in tomorrow night. We have so much more riveting information and that you need to know to protect your families. Lou, isn't this a key thing that we must protect our families?
Oh, absolutely. This is one of those things that could devastate the whole population. And you need to protect your family. You must be very sure about all of these facts. Get all the information you can.
And not just bird flu. We're here warning you about mass starvation, plan, depopulation. And aren't you stocking up on food, listeners? We hope so. Any final word there?
Just research all you can, and then pray to God. Good night.